Peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I got this from Ephesians 6:4. The word's the message. Every once in a while I turn to this. I like sometimes the contemporary rewording. Take your children by the hand and lead them in the way of the Master. So here we are in like week 84, right, of Ephesians. Actually, it's like 13, okay, of this sermon series. And this little section has captivated our attention for a few weeks now. If you remember, it was March 31st, which we're on the cusp of May. Where does the time go, man? So March 31st, we talked about parents and we talked about children. April 7th, and we talked about how fathers don't provoke your children to anger. And I really called it Making Disciples One. Then we took a couple of weeks off because I think there were some important things that happened in those 2 weeks. So there was Palm Sunday, there was Easter Sunday. We did some remembering sermons in there. And now we turn back to Ephesians 6 and hook up with the rest of this. And yikes, we're still talking about this. But why? Well, it's confirmation weekend, and even though it doesn't happen in here, okay, it happened in early service, as I prayed on what I wanted to share about today, I think confirmation goes pretty well with what Paul says here in Ephesians 6. And it made me think about this question. What's my biggest takeaway from confirmation? What was your biggest takeaway from confirmation? You know, as a friend of mine and I formulated this question, I just couldn't help but think back to my heady days of confirmation, Trinity Lutheran Church and School, Grand Island, Nebraska. Pastors Coretto and Real were the pastors there, and I think there was even, if my memory serves, there was a vicar there at the time. His name was Tim Brenneman. I remember three people I was confirmed with: Jennifer Hewer, Jennifer Coretto. See, Jennifer was cool back then, I guess. The name Jennifer was everywhere. Jennifer Coretto and Jennifer Hewer, and Ted Hillman. The rest sadly fade away, okay? I have no idea. I remember meeting with the pastors for class. I remember wearing the right white robes on the day of confirmation. I remember that there was this questioning that I went through that was much more rigorous than what we do. You're welcome, confirmands. I remember my mother staying after me about my memory work, and I too remember something like what I've heard from some of our kids that go through. I remember trying to jam in the memory work on the drive to confirmation. With about 50% success, which is about what you guys bat as well. And amazingly, after all that time, I can remember very clearly one lesson. Why this one particular lesson, I don't know, but it was about lying and the Eighth Commandment. I don't know. Okay, God, tell me why I need to remember that one. Other than that, it's a bit of a blur. Now, admittedly, I have since overwritten much of my mental tape with what I should have learned back in confirmation because, you know, I kind of have to teach this. So what I knew then and what I know now is almost indistinguishable. But of all the things I remember most, it was that I stayed connected to the church after confirmation. I mean, the learning was important, but what I remember most was that I started to usher. And that meant that my parents got me this gray jacket with these brown patches on the elbows. Remember these? Man, I just thought I was the cat's pajamas because I got that thing, right? And I served with my friends, and I served with my dad. I remember going to youth group and fruitlessly showing off for the young men and women that were there. I remember where certain families always sat in the service, including mine. I remember the bad coffee and the good conversations during the fellowship time. I remembered my mom and dad's quiet and constant witness and the acknowledgement that I would get. I went to a public high school. As I would walk along and I would see one of my fellow confirmands, and we'd kind of give one of these. They too had survived, right? But it was those friendships, it was those connections, that modeling of my family that kept me going by the grace of God. The teaching sticks, and trust me, confirmands, if you're in this process, or if you're soon to be a part of this process, or if you've just gone through this process, more will come back, okay? Perhaps it's just the trauma of the 2 years. But anyway, frankly, the time around confirmation in the church was nearly as important as the process itself. How about you? What was your biggest takeaway? But you know, don't just ask me. Don't just take it from me. Chris, come on up.
Thanks. So Pastor Jason asked me to talk about a couple things. One is, what is my biggest takeaway from confirmation? But secondly, he wanted me to talk about what is confirmation. So I'm going to address that first. If you grew up Lutheran, you're very familiar with this concept of confirmation, and that may actually evoke some strong feelings in you, maybe good ones as you think about laying a solid foundation of your faith or growing closer and closer to God, or maybe not so good if you think about the 2 years of intense instruction or having to cram all those memory verses and that, or maybe wearing a stuffy robe on a hot spring day, a warm spring day. But it's pretty clear that confirmation is a normative experience in the Lutheran Church, so it must be pretty important. And so I want to just share a few reasons why confirmation is important. One is you do get to dive a lot deeper into the Bible and learn a lot more about it. Biblical literacy these days is pretty low, and that's really just a way of saying that a lot of people today don't know a whole lot about the Bible. And it might be kind of tempting to just sort of delegate that Bible stuff out to the church or to the pastor, just let him tell us the things that we need to know. But that's not historically how Lutherans have understood the Bible. The Bible is something that people are to read for themselves. And so we can go all the way back to Martin Luther, and he did a couple of very radical things. He did a lot of radical things, but a couple things that relate to this point. One, he translated the Bible into German. And that may not seem so radical because you could just get one Bible app and literally have dozens and dozens and dozens of Bible translations right there at your fingertips. But back then, the Bible was really only written, available in Latin or in the original Greek or Hebrew. And nobody knew those languages except for the priests. So people were heavily dependent on the priests to tell them what the Bible said. And Martin Luther wanted the people to learn the Bible for themselves and be able to read it, so he translated it into, he lived in Germany, and so he translated it into German so the people could read it for themselves. The second thing he did that was really kind of different was he put all the core basic Christian teachings, doctrines, into one small book that we call the Small Catechism. It was intended to be a book that any pastor or any parent could use to teach the faith to their kids. Really what Martin Luther did was he put together like the first Christianity for Dummies book. He tried to pull it all together into one simple thing. So confirmation is intended to be instruction in the basic core doctrines of the Christian faith so that when the kids get older, they can speak for themselves and confirm the vows that were spoken for them at their baptism. See, in the Lutheran Church, we baptize babies. Some Christian denominations do not baptize babies, and we could get into that, but that would require a whole separate message to go into that. Now, we know that babies can't talk, and being able to proclaim Jesus is pretty important. So Lutherans address this in a couple of ways. One, at your baptism, you have godparents or sponsors who are adults or older teens who are mature in the Christian faith, and they make a promise to help the parents and support them in raising their child in the Christian faith. The second thing Lutherans do is we have confirmation. Usually, confirmation takes place around the age of 13 or 14, and kids of that age certainly are old enough to think and speak for themselves, and so then they can confirm the vows that were made for them at their baptism. Another reason we do confirmation is you get to join the church. Well, everybody who has faith in Jesus as their Lord is in the church, but we can't see into people's hearts and minds, and we don't know what they're thinking or what they really believe. But at confirmation, we get a little glimpse into those things. So, like, for instance, last month, you were able to hear Jack and Will share their witness testimonies. And if you didn't, those are printed in your bulletin, so you can check that out and read what they are sharing. And also, they stand in front of the church and they answer questions and profess their faith. So for a very brief time, we do get to see that they belong, they're in the invisible church by faith. and therefore they should be received into the visible church as well. There is kind of one more thing, and I say kind of. In some churches, you have to be confirmed before you take communion. And I say kind of because the two aren't necessarily always tied together. Communion is a sacrament. It's commanded by Jesus. It's in the Bible, and by it, we receive God's grace and forgiveness. Confirmation is not commanded by Jesus, and in fact, confirmation itself isn't even in the Bible. There are aspects of confirmation, like instruction in the Word. We are supposed to learn that, but it itself is not in the Bible. So we want to be careful. While the two are usually associated with each other, we don't want a man-made rite to become a requirement to participate in the sacrament that Jesus gave us. So I'm going to talk about the question of what are my biggest takeaways from confirmation? What did my confirmation mean to me? And one thing, the first place I'll start, it is not a graduation. So I'll kind of start with one thing that confirmation is not. I can see why a lot of people think it is a graduation. You've got a two-year intense period of instruction, followed by a ceremony and a certificate. In many Lutheran churches, you wear a robe. So it kind of looks like a graduation. But that thinking is actually kind of disastrous, because what happens, people think, well, I've completed confirmation, I have graduated, and then we don't see them again until Christmas or Easter, or maybe when they have kids their own someday. But confirmation is really about discipleship. It's one step in a lifetime of following Jesus. It usually is very meaningful for people, but it is one step. And so when Pastor Jason first asked me that question, what were my takeaways from confirmation, the first thought that came to my mind was actually going all the way back to when I was 5 years old. And I remember my parents taking me to church. They took me to Sunday school, and I walked into the Sunday school opening for the first time as a little five-year-old, and they were like, it felt like there were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of big kids. Reality, it was probably 15 or 28-year-olds. But they were all singing, "I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart." And for a five-year-old, I was pretty intimidated, and I didn't want to stay. But I did stay, and I went to Sunday school and church every Sunday for my whole childhood. And the only time I didn't go was when I was sick. And if I was old enough to stay home alone, then I did stay home alone, and everybody else went to church. So as I got older, I did attend church and Sunday school when I was growing. And then when I got to be confirmation age, joining the confirmation class was really just kind of the next step. I had been learning and growing all along, so why wouldn't I join the confirmation class? And then confirmation became a very especially meaningful time for me, because I moved from like a childlike faith to an adult faith, and being accepted in the church as a more mature adult, more mature all of, what was I, 13 years old, I think. But it felt pretty cool to be included among the mature people of the church. And then when I got to high school, I continued to participate in the youth ministry, and I had many meaningful experiences there. And I would have to say that my continued growth in high school was just as impactful on me, I think, as confirmation was. And then when I got to college, I started having doubts and questions for the first time about my faith. And we could get into that, but that'd be another whole message series, and I don't want to take the time for that right now. But God stayed with me, and he kept me learning and growing all through those doubts and those questions. And so here I am today, just still learning and growing and teaching God's word. And I just want to close up my portion of this message. There's a quote that I came across recently that I think really captures confirmation pretty well. But the program director at Concordia University in Irvine, California, David Reuter, he said, "The single biggest predictor for a student's connection to the church following confirmation is their connection prior to confirmation." So earlier in the early service, Jack and Will were confirmed, and I'm very proud of them, and I enjoyed the 2 years I spent getting to instruct them and getting to know them, and I was able to get to know them in the years prior to that, well, at least a year or two prior to that, but I'm confident that they will continue to learn and grow even after today, their confirmation Sunday. In fact, earlier this week, I sent Will a message just thanking him for something that he had done recently, and he wrote back to me, "Oh, I enjoyed it. Anytime you need help, I always want to help. I always want to serve." And I know that Jack feels the same way. So I'm looking forward to them continuing past confirmation to grow as disciples of Jesus. So I don't want you to just take my word for all of this. We've got some pretty cool videos of other people who are going to share what their confirmation means to them.
Fondest memory of my confirmation period was being in a confirmation class of about 12, a lot more boys than there were girls. And we, the pastor at the time, Pastor Wynn, was a very athletic individual. So he would always take a break in the middle of confirmation class and we'd go outside and play football with the pastor. It was a great time. It was a time of building life together with the other ones that I would be confirmed with, and the memories were so special.
Hi, my name is Kevin Burney. My takeaway from confirmation, I grew up in a Catholic church. So one of the really cool things was we got to pick our own name. So I went from Kevin James Burney to Kevin James Paul Burney. Also, we got to pick a sponsor. So it was really the first time that I was able to actually confirm my own faith in the church myself instead of someone doing it for me. So that was my biggest takeaway from confirmation.
My name is Jack, and the thing that I took away most from confirmation was the types of people that God uses to fulfill His promises. God likes to use really simple people to fulfill His biggest promises. Like Abraham, when he lied about Sarah being his sister, he still used him to be the forefront of God's promise to be a blessing to all the nations. And then you see later about Jacob, who deceived his father Isaac into giving a blessing, but then he used him to help continue that promise forward. And as you see on through the Old Testament, you see more and more sinful people, but God uses those people to keep fulfilling his promises.
I'm Jennifer Hamilton.
I'm Emma Hamilton.
And we're here to talk about our biggest takeaway from confirmation. And my confirmation, my oldest daughter informed me, was over 30 years ago, which is a long time ago. But anyway, my confirmation was extremely rigorous. And we had tests every week, and it was a lot of studying. And I think what I took away from that, I took away a lot of faith from that, but what I enjoyed was when my kids then were going through confirmation and we were studying the catechism together. I could see myself in my parents' living room studying it. It took me back all those years when I was studying with my mom, and I hope that someday that my kids have that experience with their kids. That excitement and that joy of learning it together.
One thing that I took away was that once you're confirmed that, like, your faith keeps going and you keep going to church, and it doesn't stop there once you are confirmed.
My biggest takeaway from confirmation is the two cute boys that sat in there with me, or maybe I would not have made it through the whole school year.
What I am looking forward to confirmation is me getting confirmed. I want to be confirmed because I'll be able to take the body and blood of Christ.
I really appreciate Janet Gora for putting that together. She did a great job. And I know, Peg, wherever you are, yeah, your faith is much deeper than that, I know. Yeah. I appreciate you being vulnerable enough to leave that in there. I appreciate that. So, what is your biggest takeaway from confirmation? How about even this message? Secretly, I think we hope that it doesn't end during or at confirmation. In fact, it's really so much more of a beginning, and we all have a part to play in that. What a privilege it is to be the Church of Jesus Christ together. So this is my prayer. Lord Jesus, in your grace and strength, in challenge and in blessing, help us, as Ephesians says, to take your children by the hand and then to lead them in the way of you, O precious Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.